From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome to this Friday edition of Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as today we conclude our study of Psalm 68 verse 18 and the subject, Christ leading captivity captive and giving gifts unto men. I said at the beginning of the week that here we have four glorious views of the Lord Jesus Christ, and today we come to the last of those, and I trust that it will be for all of us a blessing as we come to the consummation of this wonderful statement concerning the Son of God, who did such a great work for us, and ascended into heaven as the mighty conqueror. Before, however, we turn to God's Word, we have our daily devotional Bible study for the day, which comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and the subject is one that's very important to every Christian, witnesses. Jesus, just before he went to glory, said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." One of the evidences of genuine conversion is a sincere desire to know and to do the will of God. Paul's prayer in the Damascus Road, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" is proof that he had truly become a child of God. He had come to realize that he was not his own, and that in saving him, the Lord had a purpose for his life. That purpose for Paul was that he should be a witness for Christ. The same is true in the case of every believer. Surely our longing and prayer should be that we might be good witnesses. But what does this require? First, in a court of law, one is reckoned a good witness if he has confidence. There is clarity and certainty in his testimony. He knows what he speaks is true, for he has seen, heard, or experienced it for himself. The apostles used the same criterion in their witness for Christ. They were confident witnesses. Acts 4:20 says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." As believers, we declare the truth that we have personally experienced. Then there must be character. In a trial, opposing counsel are aware that they can destroy the credibility of a witness by discrediting his character. So the world and the devil are not slow to highlight the contradictions between what Christians profess to believe and how they actually behave. May God give us grace that the message of our lips and the message of our lives will be the same. And finally, in a good witness, there must be courage. Under cross-examination, a witness's evidence and person will be subjected not only to scrutiny, but sometimes even to scorn. We must have the strength of conviction to endure the bombardment of disbelief and even of ridicule. How we need to pray that we will remain faithful in witness, even when called to suffer for Christ's sake. Let me ask you a question. What sort of a witness are you for the Lord Jesus Christ? And our thought for the day, witnessing is not something we do, it is something we are. last couple of weeks, we have been making a very special free offer to our VCY listeners. We're offering to all who write to us to request it, Dr. Mike Barrett's excellent book on Daniel. Dr. Barrett is an eminent Old Testament scholar, and in this hardback book, he leads us to see what many books on Daniel miss, namely the comfort of knowing that our sovereign God is in complete control of all that's happening in the world today. Thus, the book of Daniel is a powerful answer to those who look at perplexing things that are going on in the world today and ask, where is God in all this? Dr. Barrett's study of Daniel will show you the answer and will thereby greatly bless your soul. So why not write today for your free copy of Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. Now we turn one more time to Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended up on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. We have noted that this Old Testament text is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it teaches four great truths about him. We have covered three of those truths. His identity, he is truly God. His victory, his glory. And now we come to consider the fourth, his bounty, his gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. So let's turn once again to Psalm 68 and verse 18. And I will finish very briefly with his bounty. He received gifts, according to the psalmist, for men, yea, for the rebellious, even for the rebellious. In Ephesians 4, he gives the gifts. I want you to see this. The Son of God has a rich store
for all his people. God has given him everything that you and I need. Now, don't take that in some modern charismatic sense that if you live right, God wants you to be a millionaire. In 999 cases out of 100, he doesn't want you to be a millionaire, because there's nothing would corrupt you and kill spirituality in you more quickly than that. There are very, very, very few people can live with having more money than they need for their existence. Some may, but very few people can. And it's the mercy of God that doesn't let you become what those charismatic preachers tell you he wants you to become. It's his mercy. But he has a rich store. I remember a man used to pray. I have to be honest and say that he was trying to get at people, and he was praying it against them. And I'd have to say that if he was in my prayer meeting, I would go to him and tell him, "You ever pray that again, I will interrupt you and I will condemn you in the name of God publicly. And if you continue, I'll throw you out." For he was sinning. But there was truth in what he said. The people he was praying against, first of all, you never pray at people in a prayer meeting. If you're in to say to people, have the guts to go and say it to them, and don't make a hypocrite of yourself talking to God supposedly all the time you're talking to somebody else. Don't be a liar. Christians ought not to be liars, okay? But what he said was true enough. He said, "Lord, you have promised to supply our need, not our greed." There's a lot of truth in that. God has given his son because of his work on the cross. He has given him, in the terms of the covenant of grace, this rich store of blessing for his people. Philippians 4 tells us that he blesses us not out of, but according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everybody else gives you out of what they have. God doesn't give you out of what he has, because he is not impoverished by giving. He is no less after he has given than when he commenced. His giving is out or according to the infinity of his possessions. And he says, there's a rich store of blessing. Do you realize Christ has purchased for his people every blessing they can ever need in this world or the next? And they're gifts of grace. They're for the rebellious. This is a wonderful truth for sinners to lay hold of, because we were all rebellious. It's a wonderful truth for backsliders to lay hold of. There's a blessing for me today. Whatever my need, however deep that need, however unworthy I am, this is a matter of grace. He has gifts that he has purchased with the shedding of his own blood, and he is sealed by his resurrection from the dead, and he's guaranteed by his ascension to glory. There are gifts to meet the needs of all his people. And Christ actually bestows those gifts that his Father has given him. You see, what Christ purchased, he gives. What he received, he gives. This is the very opposite to the theory of popery, which tells you that the saints have amassed a great, great amount of what they call works of supererogation. Just a big word to cover an old heresy. They had too much goodness. They had more than they needed to get to heaven. You know, when you put it in plain English, doesn't it sound absolutely crazy? These saints had so much merit that they had more than they needed to get to heaven. And if you can imagine this great big lake that's gone in there, and there you've got this huge, huge reservoir of merit and of blessing. And there it sits. And of course, it's never doled out. Unless the Pope says, "I'll dole it out through me or my bishops or my priest. And I'll only dole it out if you pay, or if you do masses, or if you do this, or if you do that, or you do the other thing. And of course, the most of it will probably never be doled out. Of course it never will, for it doesn't exist. But this is the very opposite. Here is this great reservoir of blessing that Christ has, and he never fails to give it. Christ didn't purchase anything for you not to enjoy it. Never forget that. Whatever Christ purchased for you and me to experience and enjoy, we may, must, and shall experience and enjoy. And as a result, and this is the pinnacle of it all, we come back full circle with this. He leads his people into the blessing of fellowship with God. The Lord God dwells among them. This is the true Emmanuel experience. God with us. This is heaven begun while we're still here on earth. As the old hymn writer said, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Christ is in heaven, but because of that, God dwells with us. See how that sanctifies the life of a Christian? Do you see how that dignifies the weakest believer, the meanest hovel in which a Christian dwells, the dark cave or cell in which he may be driven by persecution? It's dignified by the presence of God. I make a confession to you this morning. You by this time all know that I'm British. And I confess that despite all the shenanigans and the sins and the wickednesses of our present royal family, which really hasn't been a lot different from most other royal families or American aristocratic families, or nowadays almost any family, I have to confess that I am an unreconstructed royalist. Don't come to fight with me. I'm not going to change. I'm too old to change. And furthermore, I'm right. I'm not asking you to be royalists. I'm not trying to change the American Constitution, roll back history. I enjoy the 4th of July as much as anybody. Not as good as the 12th of July, mind you, but I'll explain that at another time. So what I'm about to say is not said from some Republican bias. It's said by an unreconstructed royalist. I should back up there because somebody's going to hit me over the head with this. We're all a bundle of contradictions. And this royalist, of course, going back in history, would have been glad to fight with the roundheads to chop the head of the King Charles. But there's a reason for that. As I finished my day yesterday, I decided to relax and I flipped the television on, some vital news in the world that one must get, and just to find out how Arsenal did in the Premier League and what rugby matches were played in England and that sort of thing. You know, world-shattering news. And I don't know what was on, but or what channel was on there, but it was supposed to be something of that nature, as I thought. And there it was the royal wedding of Prince Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles. The shot went into St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle, a very historic place to be. And up stood the Archbishop of Canterbury, with all the unctuous hypocrisy that only an apostate could muster, he went through a form of religious service, wouldn't marry them, and I have no condemnation for that, not marrying them, but we will now pronounce the blessing, and we will lead you through this religious service. And all the words were there that we confess, repent of our sins and the infidelity and all the rest of it, past times, and pledge loyalty, etc. Now, the building there is historic. I have walked around it, and you have the remains of kings dating back for centuries. It's a very imposing place. The ritual may be thought to be beautiful. The prayers, the readings, word perfect. As I listened, I thank God I have nothing to do with it. There's as much of the presence of God in the whole thing as you may find in hell itself. God is conspicuous by his absence. Let me tell you, where Christ dwells with his people, that's the place to be. That's what I want for this church. I believe that's what we have, and that's what we must maintain. That by the grace of God, we so exalt Christ that the ascended Son of God guarantees God with us. Can you ask for anything better? You're just going to step out of this church today, and I don't know what you're going to step into. I don't know what you're going to face. But I'm going to tell you this. If you have the great Emmanuel, God with us, you can face it. And when your own flesh would be overwhelmed with confidence, you can cry, O God, Thou who didst come down to earth to save me, Thou who hast ascended up on high to bless me, and finally to bring me there, O God, arise, arise, dwell with us, show your power, show your grace, and manifest your glory. The identity, the victory of Jesus Christ ascended on high, his glory and his bounty. These are the truths that will give us confidence, no matter what's going on, that we have the ear of God, who will arise for our good and for his own honor. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Give us indeed the vision of Christ leading captivity captive.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.